Live from the bungalow on the corner of Kennedy and Westland in beautiful Tampa, Florida, it's the Savvy Piscatelli Show. Call Savvy now at 1-888-404-1010. Here are your hosts for the evening, J.P. Peterson, and from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Savvy Piscatelli.
All right, welcome to the Savvy Piscatelli Show, live from the bungalow right here on Kennedy, just east of Armenia. We're having a little college tailgate party here as well, Savvy. I know you're big on college football.
I am.
Tonight's a big game. Are you going to go?
Oh, I am going to go.
I knew you'd be down there on the sideline. You are excited. You love the atmosphere.
I don't think I'm going to be on the sidelines, but I'm going to go.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to go. I'm going to sit up in the box, probably Rondé's box, to be honest with you. So we'll see. I'm excited. I love football, man. I especially love college football, so it'll be exciting.
Top 25 USF. Cincinnati comes in here ranked eighth. I don't know if you know much about the matchup, but it should be you got a quarterback that someday Tony Pike you'll probably face in the NFL. I mean he's we don't know about B.J. Daniels yet, pretty darn good quarterback. But I mean you're going to see some NFL players tonight.
Yeah, I mean first of all Cincinnati beat my boys a couple weeks ago, Oregon State.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I'm going to cheer for USF tonight for sure.
A little payback.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Like I said, there's a lot of good players on both teams, and see these young guys compete at this level is exciting.
Now, do you have any connection to the Bulls program? Do you know any of the kids,
no.
any of the coaches, anything?
I don't, but actually the funny story is, Coach will probably vouch for this, but I actually went to their camp going into my senior year. They had like an invitational kind of workout camp just for fun, going into our senior years, and I was there. Actually, Devin Hester was there. A couple other big names were there. I was there, a couple guys, and it was just one of those camps, ran the 40, did a little one-on-one drills. I actually played receiver in that camp, though, just because, when you go to those camps, sometimes it's a little more fun to play receiver,
right,
the athletic ability, and just show your ability off. So it's I was actually at their camp, and it was fun, and that was the first time I met Coach, and he was a crazy man. All I remember is I think he got out and ran the 40 with us, and I thought that was so cool to be around a guy like that. And they were recruiting me for a while, but I think they didn't really feel a lot of interest for myself. So it was one of those things where, we kind of parted our ways. But, they've definitely come up and built their program from the bottom up for sure.
So your first impression as a recruit of Coach Leavitt was he's a nutball.
I would love to play for a guy like that. Tremendous guy. Tremendous excitement, energy brings to the game. And I think that's important, to have somebody like that. And, even at the camp alone, he got me pumped up to run a 40, watching him run it. So it was exciting to see him, and I'm glad he's having a lot of success over there.
My guess is he probably butchered your name. who's up next here? Whatever.
You know what's funny was when I first got drafted here a couple years ago, we had an event at Channelside, and he was there. And he actually approached me, came up to me, and it was funny because we looked at each other, and I was kind of wondering if he remembered me. He goes, "Of course I remember you, da da da." And I said,
"Did he really remember
you?" He said he did.
I mean, it's hundreds of players that come through the camp.
He said he did. That's the thing is,
he's a recruiter.
Yeah.
No.
We'll see. But like I said, I'm excited for tonight, and hopefully they'll get the win.
Now, Coach Leavitt's also been known to go in and take on a locker or two in the pregame speech, come out a little bloodied, maybe headbutt a helmet.
Really?
Would you like a coach that's got, blood streaming down his face while he's giving you the pregame talk?
Nah, I think that's a little too extreme, man.
He's been known to do it.
Hey, whatever gets your troops rallied. Every coach got a different approach. Every coach has a different pregame speech, and some are calmer, some are more exciting. And, I think that's what separates Raw from a lot of people. His ability to motivational speak is pretty big, so.
All right, well, let's go back to last week's game. We won't spend much time on it, but, defensively, I didn't think you guys, I don't know, it's hard to talk about this because you need a pass rush. And I know you don't want to throw, you're not throwing anybody under the bus, but it just seemed like Donovan had a lot of time to throw the ball. He got some looks that he really liked, and their receivers made plays, especially the young kid Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, it's hard to sit there and, the biggest thing is, everyone's got to self-evaluate. I know I said this on the show before, and, I don't think there's one aspect of the team or point of D-line linebacker saying that you could point the finger and say that's the problem. I think as a whole, I think everyone has a little bit of a problem in the sense where everyone's got to evaluate themselves and, improve their game. And, as a secondary point of view, that's the only thing I can handle, and we kind of control back there. And we know we got to, not give up the big plays and improve that, and you know, for the most part, you know, we gave up a couple of big passes, but it's not like we were in bad position on a couple of them. You know,
right.
The first one was just one of those passes. You know, McNabb had a little extra time. He rolled out and he threw it about 60 yards on the, you know, on the rope. So that's a rough play right there. And then even the one with
let's stop right there. Albert Mack. I mean, I saw it in the film. I mean, when the receiver takes your shoulder pad out of your jersey, like. He did. I mean, not that they're going to call it all the time, and I know your hand fighting's hand, but that, I mean, that's a little much. That's how he got the separation.
The funny thing is actually when I watched the film that next day, I actually said to him, he was in perfect position. He was stride for stride, I would say.
Well, then he pulled his jersey and pulled his shoulder pad out.
I don't know exactly how he separated, but all of a sudden.
That's how he separated.
Really? Yeah.
If you look at the TV copy, you might not have been able to see it from the All 22. But he grabbed his jersey so much so that he pulled the shoulder pad out of the jersey.
And then, you know, that's something that's you can't control those plays. I mean, look, I got called for a 5-yard hold on just putting my hand on someone's back, and I guess we tripped over feet, and I thought he called me a pass interference. But it's one of those things where, you know, you can't leave something like that in the ref's hands, because most of the time DBs are not going to get the benefit of the doubt. And,
no, that's for sure.
You know, Albert Mack knows what, you know, he should have done in that play. And for the most part, I thought he was in good position, but those was one of those plays that McNabb had a long time to throw the ball, and they won. The offense won that play for sure.
Now, the other touchdown down the middle of the field, Raheem was explaining that you guys actually, Rondé and Will Allen, were both supposed to be on that. And Macklin, honestly, he made a great play on the ball right there.
You know, honestly, when you look at that film, McNabb, you know, nothing, no knock on McNabb. He shouldn't have thrown that ball like you just said. That was supposed to be a double-covered route. He shouldn't have thrown that ball. You know, Will was actually in pretty good position. For the most part, he just, you know, in the correction of that, just kind of turn around, maybe play the ball better. But it's tough. You know, that's tough when a receiver is screaming down the field. And like you said, it should have been a double coverage play. But at the same time, you know, you kind of got to make that play. So it's rough to say that, you know, to go back and you can evaluate. But like I said, that's the type of plays as a defense. You know, if coaches put us in great positions that we got a route double covered, there shouldn't be any reason why a receiver catches the ball. And you know, but at the same time, that's something we got to evaluate and learn from our mistakes.
All right, this is the Savvy Piscatelli Show. Please call up 888-404-1010. Don't be scared. He'll take any question. Don't be nervous. 579-1010 in Pinellas County. Well, a lot of times people are nervous to call up and talk to you, Savvy, and they don't know. They're talking to a player. They get a little nervous. So I try to, you know, assuage that a little bit so that they don't be. And if you're here, ladies, if you'd like to ask a question, feel free. We got a headset right here, sir. If you'd like to ask a question, step right up, and we'll put you on the air. Why doesn't he wrap up? Who are you talking about, Savvy? She wants to know why you didn't wrap up this game. Was there a particular play where you didn't wrap up on film?
This play?
This week? Do you remember?
I don't remember any of this game.
All right. There been other, yeah.
I didn't miss any tackles, I don't think.
You know, sometimes you guys do go for I don't know, maybe a knockout when you think there's a situation where you're trying to go for a big hit, maybe dislodge the ball. When do you know when it's time to do that and when to wrap up and take somebody down?
You know, that's something that's just instincts in a sense where, you know, actually the funny thing was me and Raheem were talking about that, just, you know, coaching points this week. There was a play that actually one only balls that it might have been the second quarter that Tlaib actually ended up tipping, and I thought I had a good break.
Right, yeah.
And I had a good break, and in my head I was going to try to intercept it, and then Tlaib tipped it and kind of rerouted everything, and then, you know, I just kind of went to go, you know, make sure the ball, when he got tipped, didn't, you know, get ricocheted off the receiver. So I kind of knocked it, you know, I kind of played his hands again. And you know, actually watching the film, you know, Ross said to me, you know, if you can't get that play, just try to knock him out. And it's one of those senses where that's instincts, you know, coming through. And that's a tough play, because I feel like if he didn't tip that, you know, I thought I had a good chance of trying to make a play on the ball. Yeah. Maybe not picked, but definitely knocking it out, you know. So it was one of those times, you know.